And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy, being brought to you around the world from American Voice Network, from powerofprophecy.com, where we have all our books and audio tapes and CDs and videos, and you can access that and watch some of them free and read all of our free articles and such at powerofprophecy.com. Of course, we're broadcasting also from our studio here in our ministry offices, Power of Prophecy, in Austin, Texas, just outside of Austin, Texas, in the pretty, cedars and oaks of this part of the world. Very gorgeous here, very, very green, believe it or not. I know most of you think that Texas is just a bunch of tumbling tumbleweeds, but no, we do. We do have some hill country and green here in Austin, Texas. And, of course, we're also on shortwave radio, being broadcast out of WWCR, Worldwide Christian Radio, out of Nashville, Tennessee. I want to talk to you about religious darkness today. Religious darkness. I found it in the Christian church. Maybe you have too. You know, you don't have to look very far. You don't have to go and pull up the rugs and, you know, get on your knees and look under the pews at most churches to find religious darkness. It's been said, and I think correctly so, that when there's darkness in the pulpit, there will be no light in the pews. Well, of course, many churches don't have pews nowadays. They have chairs, but I think the principle is still the same, don't you? If there's no light in the pulpit, there won't be out where people are sitting out in the audience either. And it doesn't matter whether church is big and small. I think you can be just as apostate and evil and sinister and have 15,000 members going on a Sunday as a church that might only have a dozen people. You know, proportionately, it can be just as sinful, just as horrible. And it is exactly that if it's not in alignment with God's word. I'm a big believer in alignment. You know, I used to have a car, and no matter what I did, I couldn't get the wheels aligned. That ever happened to you? You put on the brakes, and it goes this way, you know, pulls that way. And I went and got it fixed, and then started going to the left side, pull the other way. Never could get that car. I finally just sold it. Had to admit to the guy. He said he was a good mechanic. I said, boy, I'm glad because I can't get this car aligned. Yeah, I'll take care of that. Well, I hope he did. That's a dangerous situation, not being in alignment. That can be dangerous. You know, I was in the Air Force, and I remember visiting one of the missile bases. And I was talking with a missile electronics officer. He was in charge of, you know, maintaining these huge intercontinental ballistic missiles, you know, the ones that sent all the atomic bombs over to blow up half the world. I'm exaggerating, but not much. Anyway, I was talking to him, and he said, you know, Tex, if our calculations are off just a smidgen, just a tiny bit, when we send this missile up here from Malmstrom, Montana, do you realize that if we're off just a slight little bit in our calculations, this missile could land hundreds of miles away from the target? Wow. I thought about that. You know, if they were to send astronauts up to the moon or some planet, if they make a little mistake, it might only be a fraction. They can miss by thousands of miles. They're not in alignment, you see. Happens all the time. Things like that. Seems just small things can end up in the biggest horrible situation, doesn't it? Wanda says that's true in cooking, the recipes. She says that's why I'm a terrible cook. I don't pay any attention to the recipes. She said, Dad, did you put two tablespoons of this? I said, well, no, I put a bunch. I just threw a bunch in there. It was probably two tablespoons. She said, but it wasn't 2 tablespoons. No. Well, it wouldn't really 2 tablespoons, but sort of close. Jan, did you put a half a cup? Well, you know, which cup? That's not a cup. That's you put about 2 cups in there. I said, well, it looks like a cup. Well, no, that's not a cup. You got to have a regular measure. Anyway, it always turns about bad when I cook. So now she claims that I plan it that way. You know, I don't want to cook, so I make sure it turns out bad, and then that way she has to do it all. And actually, she laughs about it. The real truth is she wants to keep me out of her kitchen. She doesn't want me there anyway. It's like her castle. You know, you have your area, Tex. I have mine. You stay out of your place. I'll stay out of okay. Or out of my place. I know her game. She doesn't want me there anyway. She likes it when I mess up. Then she can laugh and all that about it to her friends, you know. And it gives her an excuse for, you know, she's the only one that can cook. And it's true. In any case, she's in alignment with that kitchen. She's in alignment. Well, friends, spiritually, it's very important for you and I to be in alignment with God. Don't lean on your own understanding. The Bible says, you know, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof, oh boy. Well, causes me to think about this religious darkness found in the Christian church today. I have long studied and discovered the most dangerous philosophy of all. I have. And you know, the Bible warns about it. And it's the very philosophy that all of the ancient mystery religions from Babylon, Egypt, Greece, even in Mesoamerica among the Aztecs and Incas and all that, they all have the same dangerous ancient philosophy given them by Satan. They really do. And it's now being taught, I discovered, to the people in the pews in churches across the world, especially in America. And it has a little bit to do with this alignment situation. Are you in alignment with the truth, with God? Because if you're not, things are going to be dark. They really are. Have you ever screwed in a light bulb and you know, you keep screwing 5 or 6 revolutions and then finally it hits that sweet spot and suddenly presto you or whatever, eureka, what you use your own word, suddenly it's bright. Oh, it feels so good. You know, you're in a dark place and you're, especially if you're trying to seek, maybe you've actually put your finger in the right in the hole and you get shocked. I've done that a few times too back in the old days. Boy, you make sure you then that you know what you're doing. But in any case, when you screw that bulb in that last little generation, that last little bit, and it comes on, you just have a good feeling about it, don't you? You see, you're in alignment then. The metal parts, the tungsten and touching, whatever, I don't know what the metals are, but they touch, and you got light. Well, God's like that. You know, the Bible says in Jesus Christ, there is no darkness at all. There's only light. So there's no room for a miss. You can't miss God by 1,000 miles. I promise you, you'll be in serious, serious trouble if you're out of alignment with God. Because you're going to be covered in darkness, and in Him, there's no darkness at all. And why would He want you in heaven? Why should He invite you into His holy place? Just so you can spread your darkness? I don't think so. Well, Satan's ancient and most dangerous philosophy is simply this, that he wants people to be double-minded. Sounds so simple. Double-minded, but it's actually quite complex. It's quite a psychological thing. Recently was looking again at Aldous Huxley, the British writer. You know, next to George Orwell, he probably wrote the most horrifying, or would you call it, thought-provoking books, science fiction and so forth. But he wrote Brave New World, which touched on the seduction of humanity by a dictatorship that used psychology to trap people, to seduce people, and to keep them trapped in a web of deceit. And listen, one time Aldous Huxley was speaking about the theme of Brave New World, a world in which men were prisoners and didn't even know it. They were out of alignment and didn't realize it, you see. He said this, he said, it is perfectly possible for a man to be out of prison and yet not free. To be under no physical constraint, yet be a psychological captive, compelled to think, feel, and act as the representative of the national state. Or some other private interest within the nation, how they want him to think, feel, and act. He thinks he's free, but he's doing exactly what Big Brother wants him to do. Well, of course, Huxley didn't give us Big Brother. That was Orwell. We'll get to Orwell in just a minute. This is Brave New World. He went on to say this. He said, the nature of psychological compulsion is such that those who act under constraints remain under the impression that they are acting on their own initiative. You know, God said, Jesus said in the Bible, that things will get so bad, so evil and sinister in the last days that men will kill you and think they're doing God service. They will murder and slaughter and say, we're doing God a great service. They're out of alignment with God's will. But they don't know that because they've been psychologically led, instructed, and taught, and they believe that it's okay to murder and kill. And even to the extent that they're doing God a service. Huxley explains this this way. He says, the victim of manipulation does not know that he's a victim. To him, the walls of his prison are invisible. He believes himself to be free. But he's not. If you can be hypnotized, mesmerized, and your mind and heart and soul captivated, that is captured, and you don't even know it, that's the best kind of dictatorship for the dictator. He doesn't have to use any restraints against you. He doesn't have to beat you over the head. He doesn't need to have a surveillance state, video cams and such watching you. You just do it because you think you should do it. He's got you psyched up. He's got you brainwashed, propagandized into believing what he wants you to believe. Well, that would be exactly what Satan would like. George Orwell had a name for this. He called it doublethink. And he said it's the ability, of a person to consider two irreconcilable or two diametrically opposite thoughts or facts. Diametrically opposite. In other words, they don't go together. Black and white. Oil and water. They don't mix. But yet you think that they do. You see, you fuse two things together that really don't go together. Now, my automobile broke not too long ago, an electric part, electronic part, and I had a helper that went down to the garage to get the part. They gave the wrong part. It looked like the right part, but it wasn't the right part. It didn't have quite the same number. There was like the A was missing on the end of the number or some silly thing like that. You know what? It didn't work. We called up and gave them the number. That's the one you're supposed to have. Well, it must be something else. You know, I didn't have the use of my car for about 6 weeks because of that silly part. Come to find out, it didn't have the A suffix or something on the end of it. They did give us the wrong part. I didn't know it. I was reading an article here from Sherwood, Arkansas. Now, if you're from Sherwood, oh boy, do you ever have a church there? Oh my. Listen to this article in the Sherwood newspaper, I suppose. It's entitled, Sinners or Saints? Question mark. It's hard to tell. Now they're talking about a church there. Sinners or saints, it's hard to tell. Good versus evil. Let me read it to you. It's sort of an interesting article. It says the error on an online flyer announcing a forthcoming conference at the Open Door Community Church in Sherwood, Arkansas, on the church's website is not obvious. An error, and they had a flyer, like, you know, have a little publicity for the conference they're going to have at the Open Door Community Church. The error is not obvious. it says. But an alert, most would never catch it, but an alert colleague of this reporter did. The church's October 8th through 10th conference, entitled Jesus, Light of the World, includes three featured guests. Bishop Gene Robinson of the Episcopal Diocese of New Hampshire, the first openly gay, non-celibate, that means he's shacking up with another man, is a homosexual, to be ordained a bishop in a major Christian denomination. Also at the conference will be Grammy and Dove Award-winning gospel singer Cynthia Clawson, and New York-based Reverend Vince Anderson, who has dubbed his music Dirty Gospel. To remind people that humanity is an important part of the gospel, and in reference to the blues element within his music. So he likes to call his music, this Reverend Vince Anderson, the Dirty Gospel music. Now let's look at this. First, and by the way, I'm not even going to tell you about the error on the flyer. I think we've already found some errors ourselves. Now, to me, they're quite obvious. But you know, this reporter, he didn't see any of these errors. I've got some errors right now I'd like to talk to you about. Some things that are not in alignment that the reporter didn't even know. He's talking about some other little bitty silly thing. In fact, let me go ahead and tell you what the problem was, the flyer. He says the problem with the flyer is the photo of Reverend Vince Anderson, the Dirty Gospel guy, isn't really him. It's Hollywood actor Michael Lonsdale. They got the wrong picture. But it turns out, by the way, that the guy just liked the picture of Michael Lonsdale and decided to use that rather than his own picture. But anyway, that's another story. Things are a little bit out of alignment right there, I would say. But in any case, let's just look at these three people that are going to be, that were at this church this October. Now, the church conference seemed okay to be held at the Open Door Community Church. I mean, it was entitled Jesus, Light of the World, and he is the light of the world. But look at the three featured guests. First of all, there was Bishop Gene Robinson, an Episcopal. He's the bishop, the head of the whole, one of the biggest areas of the Episcopal Church. So he's got probably 100 other churches that report to him. He's a big cheese, a big potentate, poobah, or whatever you call it, of the Episcopal Church. But he's a queer. He's a homosexual. I know quite a bit about this Robinson. By the way, not only is he openly gay and shacking up with a man, he abandoned his family and kids, his wife and kids, to go shack up with a man. And they still made him a bishop after that. But then he had problems within a year or two of being made a bishop of the Episcopal Church when it came out he was a drunk and an alcoholic. And he said, yes, I've got problems with alcohol. I'm going to rehab. I'm working with that. And my life partner is helping me recover. So he was an alky, a drunk, a queer, and an abandoner of his whole family, but he was been honored by being made a bishop in the Episcopal Church. I think something is out of alignment. I think somebody is double-minded. It is not God. So who could it be? As they say on Fox News, I just report, you decide, or has it already been decided for us? For me, it's already been decided. The Word of God says that the effeminate will not enter the kingdom of heaven. That's the homosexuals. Thank God burned up two whole cities because of things like this that went on. Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't have to ask, I wonder what God thinks about that. I already know. If you're in alignment with the Word of God, you know too. Pretty simple, isn't it? You don't have to question it. You don't have to be double-minded. Well, now let's see. He's gay. And he's living with a man, he abandoned his family. Wonder whether he should be bishop or not. It could go this way or it could go that way. Well, he's a wonderful man. He's a lovely person. He's a great counselor. I'll bet you he's so good in sex counseling. Well, I think we will make him a bishop. On the other hand, shut up! I say God has decided it already. Get in line. Alignment. Then there's this Grammy and Dove Award-winning gospel singer, Cynthia Clawson. I've heard her sing. She sings a lot for the Bill Gaither people. She has a lovely voice. She seems to love going to gay places and singing. As I understand it, she goes there and tells them how wonderful they are. God loves you just the way you are. You don't have to change. That's what I've heard. Cynthia Clawson. She's a bestseller in the record business for the Christians. And, of course, Bill Gaither says the same thing. You know, quit being narrow-minded, you Christians out there. We should love everybody for what they are. Exactly. And that's why Charles Manson should be let out of prison. Is he a murderer? Yes. Has he changed since he was put in prison? No. But let's love him for what he is. Just a nice little Nazi-like mass murderer. Isn't that sweet? Let's let him. In fact, maybe we could make him Bishop Charlie Manson. He's such a nice guy. His cellmate, another mass killer, told me that he washed his feet in the morning. And every once in a while, he brushes his teeth. He's a great man. Bishop Manson. Now, then we get to the third character here, Reverend Vince Anderson. Seems that Reverend Vince Anderson is from New York City, and he's going to be visiting this Sherwood, Arkansas church. He's the guy that has dubbed his music, has given his own music the name Dirty Gospel. I'm hurt. How can you mix the word dirty with gospel? Jesus willingly died on the cross for our sins. He didn't deserve it. They put him between two criminals, tortured him, killed him. And the gospel truth is that he rose from the grave. And he lives, and he loves you and me. And he wants to save us. He wants to bring us to heaven with him. He loves the whole world and wishes that no man to perish. This is the gospel. And we're going to call that dirty? Something is not aligned. And we're not talking about astrology and the stars out of alignment. We're talking about human hearts. This, dear friends, is an abomination. Now, it just so happens that Reverend Vince Anderson, the church he's in New York City, I know well the young pastor that he works with there, his co-pastor. The name of the church is the Revolution Church in New York City. And the pastor there is Randy McCain. And the other pastor is Jim and Tammy Faye Baker's son, Jay. He's got tattoos. He's got piercings, spiked painted hair. And he claims to be a pastor. And he's Jim and Tammy Faye Baker's son. Well, you know what the Bible says? A poisonous tree cannot produce good fruit. And there you have an example of that. Well, on the other hand, the reverend here, the Open Door Community Church, Pastor Randy McCain, says he's looking forward to Vince coming and having his dirty gospel music. The Reverend says, McCain says, I'm looking forward to this conference. Reverend Vince is great. He sings like Joe Cocker, but he plays the piano like Jerry Lee Lewis. That's wonderful. That's just what we need. Somebody playing the dirty gospel, just like Jerry Lee Lewis. Now, the Bible says something quite interesting in James. It says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. How many ways is all? It's all. There. Let's get an alignment. He's not a little bit crooked. He's not a little bit corrupt. He's totally in all his ways. That's pretty bad. He's a reprobate. Double-mindedness is the thing that God hates worse. says in the book of Revelation, let me clue you in, reverends and all of you, Miss Clausen and all of you down there at this Sherwood Baptist Church at your conference, and you too, Mr. Bishop, queer boy or whatever your name is. I've got a little bit of news for you here. God said that maybe you're fortunate. It's better that you be hot or cold than lukewarm. But it seems to me you're lukewarm. And you know what Jesus said in the book of Revelation? He said if it would be better if you were either hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you. I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. I'm going to throw you up. Just like vomit. I call these people lukewarm. Now, you may say, man, they're cold to me. Well, they are sort of cold, but listen to me. They claim they're people of God. And they've come to present Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And this is the light that they're bringing. Filth, darkness, heaviness, satanic deception, hell. They bring with them. Because they claim to be bringing the things of God, but in fact are angels of light working for Satan, they are lukewarm workers because they are tricking, deceiving people into thinking they can be just like them. The youth, they say, you can also practice dirty gospel. And you can be a homosexual or a lesbian. You don't need to change. And they're teaching people to be out of alignment with God, to be double-minded. There's a book, a series of books that are in Christian bookstores that do the same thing, though. And Baptist pastors and Assembly of God pastors and Methodists and Lutheran and all love this man's writing. His name is C.S. Lewis. Clive Stewart, I think, is his real name. C.S. Lewis from Great Britain. Many, many books. They make a lot of movies out of them, too. The Last Battle, The Chronicles of Narnia. C.S. Lewis, his books still sell in the hundreds of thousands, maybe the millions every year around the globe. They're in every Christian bookstore. And the intellectuals love him. You know, I go around and I speak to people, college campuses, and the professors that claim to be Christians come up to me and say, do you like the works of C.S. Lewis? I just love C.S. Lewis books. And I say, yes, when I want to read a book other than, you know, a satanic book, and I'm tired of reading Anton LaVey's The Satanic Bible, I enjoy turning to C.S. Lewis books. They're just as satanic. And the guy's mouth just drops. Of course, I don't enjoy reading any of them, but I know of them. The Bible says, for we are not ignorant of the devices of the devil. I know of these books, and I know they're satanic. And, you know, I was up in Milwaukee some years ago, and they asked me to speak to the assembled pastors, different denominations, the Christian radio station up there, WVCY. They said, could you speak to all the pastors? And I did, and I was speaking to them, and then I had a question and answer time. I says, can I answer any of your questions, please? And a pastor got up, and he says, yes, I'd like to know what you think of the works, the books of C.S. Lewis. And I said, they're of Satan. And he almost had a fainting attack. And oh my goodness, there were several pastors there. They were so angry at me. As I understand it, they told the sponsor of the thing never to have Tex Mars here again. He's a terrible person. He said those bad things about C.S. Lewis. Well, friends, when I come back in a minute, I'm going to take a break now. I'm going to explain to you some things about C.S. Lewis, one of the most beloved of all Christian writers, for his books. And I'm going to let you decide. He's the late C.S. Lewis now, you know. Did he serve Satan or did he serve God? Was he double-minded? Was he in alignment or not? Was he lukewarm or hot or cold? I'll report and you decide. Stay with us. This is Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. We'll be right back after this brief message. Hello, friends. Tex Mars again here. So great to be with you every week here on International Radio and talk with you about the things of God and especially the power of prophecy. You know, the Bible says very clearly that those who are the overcomers, and you overcome really with the power of your testimony and because of the blood of Christ, it says in Revelation. And the overcomers will inherit the world. A lot of people don't believe that. And they believe you've got to be the greatest superpower on earth and have the military muscle and all those things. But isn't it interesting that Jesus even said the meek shall inherit the earth? I wonder what he meant. I think I know. It says in the Bible, pride goeth before a fall. And that Leviathan, the great serpent or the devil, is the king of all the children of pride. I'd like to talk to you about some men that seem to be very prideful, and we've done videos exposing them. One of the videos is called The Blind and the Dead. The blind and the dead. They're alive. They've got eyes. Evidently, some of them have 20/20 vision, but they're still blind. And they are part of the congregation of the dead that God talks about in the Old Testament. He does identify those who are of the congregation of the dead. And we've done a video. Jerry, I forget how long this video is. It's either 60 or 90 minutes. I can't remember. I do know this. I think it's 90 minutes. But it is a shocker of a video. Folks, as a viewer, you'll actually see some of the biggest name televangelists and Christian leaders in the world. I mean, names like Paul Crouch, people like the late Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, and on. And you'll see them doing the craziest things. They're the blind and the dead. You'll see men in churches crawling around with a dog leash being led, going, orf, 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 orf. You'll see women up at pulpits saying that God told them to get up there and to howl like a wolf. Ow! God's never told me to howl like a wolf or to let a woman put a collar around my neck like a dog and walk me around the aisles of the church. But these men have. Then there's the holy bartender. He teaches entire churches to dissolve into laughter. He says the Holy Ghost wants you to laugh. He calls it holy laughter. He says, I'm the Holy Ghost bartender. It's like you're drunk, but you're just laughing. I guess they think that's constructive. I would think people that outside the church would indeed laugh at the stupidity of such things. Now, what I do on the video, The Blind and the Dead, is show what the Bible says and compare it to what they're doing. The most outrageous things in churches today. No wonder the Apostle Paul warned there would be a great falling away just before Jesus comes. I'm convinced it's there. This is the great falling away. Oh, my. We're right on the threshold of something very, very evil. I remember the poem of W.B. Yeats, the great British poet. I say great because people said he was great. He wasn't a Christian by any means. It's called The Second Coming. He said there's a beast slouching toward Bethlehem. Its hour come round at last, ready to be born. A beast slouching toward Bethlehem. I believe there is a beast slouching toward Bethlehem. It's time come round at last, the Antichrist. And this book will show you we even already have the spirit of Antichrist in these false teachers. Some of the biggest name televangelists that you can imagine. And they need to be exposed. And we've done that with The Blind and the Dead. Now we have another video to offer you. And it's entitled, Is the Pope Catholic? Everybody laughs at that title. Is the Pope Catholic? Well, of course he has to be Catholic. He's a Roman Catholic. Well, I don't know. I think he might be a Babylonian. You might too after you see this video. It actually shows Pope John Paul II. Now I know he went on to be with, well, you know who. But Pope Benedict is no different. Recently, somebody sent me a picture of Pope Benedict, the new pope, and he's wearing the old fish cap of Dagon, the Palestine fish god the Canaanites worshipped. They worship the beast that rose up out of the sea, the great fish god, half man, half fish. That's who they worshiped, the Philistines, that is. They cut off the head of the king of Israel and put it on a silver tray and took it into their great temple, sacrificed him for their god, Dagon. And their high priest wore the Dagon fish headdress. It's the same one the Pope wears. Just like a fish's head with his mouth opening. But I saw that this one, the Pope Benedict was wearing, it was embroidered or had this brocade stuff on it. They're very fancy, had all this gold stuff on it, in the shape of the Jewish Star of David. Six-pointed star. I'm well aware of what the six-pointed star is. In fact, the Apostle Paul told us all about it. A lot of people say, I wonder why the Jews have the six-pointed star. What does it mean? Well, Paul already told you. It's in the book of Acts. He says, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, unfortunately, they went back into the worship of the false gods of Egypt and angered the true God. They built for themselves and constructed the golden calf, but they also constructed images or an image of the star of their God, the star of the Egyptian God, who was known as Remphan and also as Kiyun. That's in the book of Acts. The star of the Egyptian God. It's on the national flag of Israel, the six-pointed star. It's a sex symbol, but I'm not going to get into that right now. Just to tell you that the Dagon, the fish god's hat or headdress worn by the Pope of Rome, had the sign of the star god of Egypt on the side of it. The name of the video we have, you'll see worse things than that. You'll see Pope John Paul II actually visiting the Hindu country of India, inviting a Hindu priestess, you know, the same one that has all the guys come into the temple and they have sex with the priestess that's attached to the Kali, the cobra goddess. They do that. Sex goddesses and priestesses and everything in the Hindu temples. And she came in and she put the stuff on his forehead. She gave him the mark of Shiva, the great god, the serpent god of India. She gave him the mark of Shiva on his forehead. Was that the mark of the beast given to the Pope of Rome? Now, why did I call him the Pope of Rome? Well, that's where the Vatican is. But you'll also see this Pope, Pope John Paul II, who's passed away now, going and preaching, giving a talk at the synagogue of Rome to the rabbis and the Jews. That was symbolic. And he had a special message for them, that the Catholic Catechism, its book of laws, regulations, and rules and beliefs, has been changed. And now it says that the Jews do not need to convert to Jesus. They are already our elder brothers in the faith. They're our elder brothers. We should seek counsel and wisdom from them. Even though they hate and despise Jesus Christ, the Pope said they don't need Jesus. They already have their old covenant. Now, isn't that amazing? The whole New Testament, we now discover, is wrong, is incorrect. The Pope said the Jews don't need Jesus. He's not their Messiah. Wow. I like having a papal authority on earth, don't you? That knows more than Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul, Peter, the brother of Jesus, James, and all the others. He must be infallible. Well, yes, they say he is. You'll also see him visiting in India the grave site where he communed with the spirit of the guru Gandhi. That must have been a lovely thing. I wonder what they talked about. While the spirit of the dead Gandhi was talking to the Pope of Rome, they probably had some interesting things to confide to each other about their common father. And I think you know his name. And it's not God. It's not Jehovah. Oh, my. It's not the name at which every knee should bow, either, which is Jesus Christ. Now, either one of these videos, we want to send them to you. And each is $20. Just send $20 plus $5 shipping and handling. Again, the blind and the dead about the televangelist. You, if you haven't seen this, you'll be shocked. Bring all your friends over. Bring some handcuffs and go to the church. Put the handcuffs on the pastor. Bring him into your home and make him watch it too. Okay? He needs it. And if he believes that the Pope is a wonderful, infallible guy, put the handcuffs on him, bring him to your house, and have him watch that video too. No, I'm just teasing about that. Although, I sort of like the idea of it, to be honest. Oh, my Lord, forgive me. Sometimes I'm just, you know, I kid a bit. But anyway, I hope you buy these videos. Why? Because they're truth-telling videos, and we want you to have them. And they can change people's lives, and they'll encourage you in your faith. They'll keep you in alignment because you'll know the truth from error. And there's a difference, friends. Don't be double-minded. Be blessed. Be in alignment with Jesus Christ and his word, his truth. $25, and it takes care of postage and handling for either the blind and the dead. Now, you need to specify, do you want it in DVD or VHS? I think we have both of these in VHS. You're saying I'm wrong, Jerry. Okay. Let me correct myself. That's because that's 90 minutes or 2 hours, I think. The blind and the dead. It's $25 plus $5 shipping and handling. You can tell how little I know about these things here. I'm being corrected by the man himself, Jerry Barrett, my producer, and he does all kind of things. Okay, Jerry, so it's $25 for the blind and the dead plus $5 shipping and handling, and that's $30 total. But it's either an hour and a half or 2 hours. Okay, I'm being corrected on that. And then the other video is the Pope Catholic, which is one of my favorite videos, by the way. That particular video is $20, but it's available only in DVD. So the Blind and the Dead is available in either DVD or VHS, the old format. So be sure to tell us which one you want. But Is the Pope Catholic is only in DVD. And it's $20 plus $5 shipping and handling. Now, folks, if you're all mixed up on that, you go online to powerofprophecy.com and order, and it'll give you all the details. TexMars is sort of an imperfect vessel. You know, slap me around a little bit, and I'll probably straighten up, fly right, as we used to call it in East Texas. My dad used to say that, but he never slapped anybody. My dad was the nicest guy in the world. But he'd say, straighten up and fly right, you know. Yes. Okay. I wonder where that came from. Probably an old Air Force. I'm an Air Force guy. I bet it was that. Your dad was Air Force too, Jerry, so he may know about those things. Okay. Yes, dad was. Jerry's dad was a career man. In fact, he was a big shot out here at Bergstrom Air Force Base, but he used to teach all these non-commissioned officers, management, leadership, and things like that. A pretty important post, I'd say. I saw those guys out there. I visited that school at Bergstrom one time. I was very impressed. Just going in there, you know, the instructors all looked so sparkling and their shoes were so polished. And that was your dad, right? See there? Okay. I remember a few things about my old Air Force Blue days, all those years spent. Those were glorious days, wonderful days. Okay. Here's how to get these videos. Just go to powerofprophecy.com or you can call us toll free during the work week, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 at Central Standard Time, of course. And our phone number is toll-free, 1-800-234-9673, 1-800-234-9673. Now, write to us and send us $30 for blind and the dead or $25. I got it right, didn't I, Jerry? Okay, for Is the Pope Catholic? And that'll cover all the shipping and all that stuff. And write to us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And we're going to put you on our newsletter subscription list. We're going to send you a printed copy each month for at least 6 months free when you order something from us. Of course, you can keep reading all these things online too. And we try to be updated. Everything goes on there. By the way, this program is being aired. Let's see. Yeah. Hey, Thanksgiving. Yeah, Thanksgiving's coming up. Wonderful. Okay, well, Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Give the Lord thanks, and you'll never go wrong. Okay, let's return to our regular program. We're talking about being double-minded. We're talking about religious darkness found in the Christian church. Religious darkness found. Talking about C.S. Lewis specifically. The Chronicle of Narnia series, and he's had many other books. C.S. Lewis, the British professor, I believe it was Oxford University. Let me read to you something. You see, in his book, it's a novel, it's a fiction, but many Christians, especially young people, read his books, the Lewis books, and they are led to believe that they exemplify true Christian life. And the animal characters, you know, represent God or whatever. For example, in the Chronicles of Narnia, there's a great lion who is worthy of all honor. And people say, oh, that's Christ. The lion worthy of all honor. That's Jesus, you know, on the throne. Yes, the Lion King. Yes, that's Jesus. Then there's a Satan-like character. Ooh, dark, sinister. His name is Tash. Okay. So knowing now, remember the lion and Tash. Let me read to you something out of C.S. Lewis's book. And you tell me, because people are thinking this is how our Christians are supposed to think. Here it begins. Now I'm reading from the book. Then I fell at his feet and thought, surely this is the hour of death. For the lion, who is worthy of all honor, will know that I have served Tash, that's Satan, all my days, and not him. But the glorious one bent down his golden head and said, Son, thou art welcome. But I said, Alas, Lord, I am no son of thine, but am the servant of Tash. He answered, Child, all the service thou hast done to Tash, I account as service done to me. So here is this character who's been serving the one who represents the dark, sinister, satanic character, Tash. And now he has fallen, and now he's in the hands of the great King Lion. And he says, oh, alas, now I'm going to be punished with death, because I did not serve you, O great Lion King, but instead I serve the evil one, Tash. And according to Lewis, the great God, the Lion King, says, come on in, son. I will count all the service you did to Satan as service to me. Of course, he didn't say Satan, he meant Tash. Now, I want to ask you, friends, does that sound a little double-minded to you? You consider this fact. Would you tell your child, you can serve the devil all your days? Now, when you get to heaven and God calls you before the judgment seat, just say, Lord, I've served the devil, but now I see the error of my ways, and from now on, from this moment on, I'll serve you. And do you really think the devil's going to, or God's going to say, okay, all your life you served the devil, and now you're in front of my judgment seat? Sure. In fact, you've been a good soldier for the devil, then you've been a good soldier of mine too. I'll just count it as service to me. Well, why should you ever serve God? It's so much pleasurable. I mean, you can be an alcoholic, a prostitute, a liar, a thief, a robber, and it'll all be counted as service to God when you get to heaven. Yeah, there you go. And yet, when I was up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I said, this is satanic stuff, and your kids are reading these books by C.S. Lewis and seeing these movies, and you're saying that they're of God. And that's a lie, Pastor. And they wanted to boil me in oil for saying that. How dare you say things about the great C.S. Lewis? Well, I did say them. And you know what? I don't take them back. I'm just that bad. I really am. You can go on and on about these things. But the Bible says you cannot drink from the cup of devils and the cup of Christ. You can't ask. You can't do it. It's sort of like, you know, the military rule, don't ask, don't tell, you know, whether you're a homosexual. I thought from the very beginning, that's double-minded. You're either homosexual or you're not. If you're homosexual, you shouldn't be allowed to be in the military.
Well, don't ask. We won't ask you, and you don't tell us, and we'll all keep it a little secret, and then you can go and, you know, do whatever you want to once you're in service. Hey, let's get up front here. Let's all figure it out before you go in.
Of course, they'll probably throw out don't ask, don't tell, and let everybody, the transgenders and the drag queens and everybody else in military service. I can someday imagine a Medal of Honor ceremony in which a drag queen is giving the Medal of Honor to some gay guy. I don't know. I doubt that, but hey, it can happen. You know, the Bible, I think, presents some interesting things that you might think are double-minded, but they're not. But they do confuse people. And you know, I think God did this in a strange way on purpose. If you're in alignment with God, you'll understand them, but if you're not, you'll be lost. Did you know that Jesus spoke in parables so that those who are serving Satan could not even understand them? In fact, Jesus said there was one of his parables, the parable of the seed, that if you understood that parable, your sins would be forgiven you and you'd be converted. But he said, it's not given to those outside the fold of Jesus Christ to understand this parable. They will hear it, but not hear it. It'll go into their ears, but they won't really hear it. You know, Jesus said this too. He said, if it were possible, even the very elect will be deceived in the last days. Now let's look at some of these things. Did you know there's two Israels in the Bible? You can get real mixed up if you don't understand what Israel is all about. Galatians 6 says there's an Israel of God. And if you think it's the physical Jews, you've just been fed a lie by the devil. You don't understand the Israel of God. Galatians 6, read Galatians 3 through 6, and you'll understand who the Israel of God is. And it's not those who are of the bloodline physically. It has nothing to do with physical things. Did you know there's two Jerusalems? But one of them, watch out. If you give honor and glory to one of the Jerusalems, you're giving glory and honor to Sodom and Egypt. In fact, that's the spiritual name of this city, Jerusalem. It's identified in Revelation 9. There's another one called the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21, verse 2. You see, there's two Jerusalems. And if you're following Satan, you'll love the one that's Sodom and Egypt. And you won't even understand the other Jerusalem. Now, did God do that to confuse you? Is he the author of confusion? Oh, no. Because once you're in alignment with God, these things will become crystal clear to you. But if you're serving Satan, you will be deceived. The Bible says things will wax worse and worse in the last days with men deceiving and being deceived. Did you know there's two brides in the Bible? Two brides. There's the chaste bride of Christ, talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. But then there's the bride of Satan. And she's seen as a beautiful, lovely, voluptuous woman, drunken with the blood of the saints of Jesus, riding a beast. Mystery. Babylon the Great, mother of harlots. She's the bride of Satan. But there's a bride of Christ too. You see how you can get confused? Two brides? Did you know there's two covenants in the Bible? Paul said one of them is vanishing. Even in his day, it was vanishing. It was going away. It would never be again because there's a better covenant. I can't tell you how many Christians write to me today and say, Tex, the old covenant is still in effect. And the Jews are still God's chosen people. And the physical nation of Israel is God's chosen country. And Jerusalem is his chosen city. The old covenant is still in effect. Why, God would never break his word. No, that's true. He wouldn't.
But men would break their word to God. They would break the covenant. In fact, God told Israel, the physical Israel, the Jews, you have broken the covenant. It was meant to be everlasting, but it didn't last long with you. You broke it. And now I'm giving you a bill of divorce. Now, look how merciful and patient God was. Over and over, he endured the horrors of Israel, the terrible things they did to him. And he just patiently took it and took it and took it. Finally, until there was no remedy. And he said, you're finished now. Jesus says the kingdom is taken from you and given to another nation that will produce the fruits thereof. The kingdom is taken away from you, physical Jews. And Jesus says, your house, the house of Israel, is left unto you desolate. You find that in Matthew. Two covenants, an old and a new. You get them mixed up, you're going to be confused. As my pastor friend Charles Bullock used to say, you'll be like a termite in a yo-yo, a wooden yo-yo. Up and down, and you don't know which is up and down. You'll be so confused, you don't know which way to go. Don't be double-minded. Satan is the author of confusion, but you give your heart to God, to Jesus Christ, and all the fog dissipates. Suddenly, you see things clearly. The confusion of the stormy day passes over, and the sunlight is shown. There's two worships in the Bible. Paul warned that there are those who worship the creation instead of the Creator. That's religious darkness. Received a letter from Richard Land. He's head of the Human Life Commission. I guess he's the biggest bureaucrat of the Southern Baptist Convention other than the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. And he's written me several times too. Different ones have that post and they don't always like the things Tex Mars does. So they write me little letters, you know. Well, this particular guy wrote me, Mr. Land, Pastor Richard Land, telling me that I was all confused. Do you not understand how important it is to clean up the environment? He said, we Baptists, I'm promoting cleaning up the environment. Did you know that's the great commission of Christ, to clean up the environment? Huh? Jesus said, go ye into all the world, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And Mr. Land, the big poobah of the Southern Baptist Convention, says, Tex, don't you understand? Cleaning up the environment, saving Mother Earth, is part of the Great Commission of Christ. Wow. He's confused. He's double-minded. There's two worships. There's the worship of the creation, which is what he's doing, and the worship of Jesus Christ. Friends, I don't want to pollute. I don't want to dirty up the planet. I'm not interested. I love green things. I love beauty. And God has made a beautiful earth. But it's nowhere as beautiful or magnificent as heaven, heavenly Jerusalem is. And I'm not gonna dignify. I told the guy, boy, I wrote him a letter and, well, you can imagine what I told him. But basically I told him, you're double-minded. You don't even know what the gospel is. There's two Bibles. There's the King James Bible, and there's all those other false versions. Get the real Bible. Don't be double-minded. Don't be a part of the religious darkness, or you will be unstable in all your ways. This is Tex Mars. It's been great to be with you here at Power of Prophecy, preaching from the Word of God, and really instructing the whole world that Jesus Christ is coming again. And my prayer is that you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.